I'm Haley Taylor, and you're listening to The Rough Draft Diaries. Last week on The Rough Draft Diaries, you met Baldemar Velasquez. Now, we covered a lot of ground in that episode, and we're just about to enter the final chapter in Baldemar's story. So if you've missed out on the previous episode, you might be a little bit behind. But don't worry, I'll catch you up. Get ready. Here we go. Baldemar grew up as a migrant worker. He was born in Texas, but his family drove all the way to Ohio to work on the sugar beet fields. Throughout his childhood and young adult life, they moved throughout Ohio and also through Michigan, working on any farm that would have them. Throughout these farms, the family experienced abuse at the hands of the field men and the labor contractors. Although Baldemar was young, he realized that this was unfair and that he wanted to do something to change it. By the time he graduated Bluffton University, he had created the FLOC, the Farm Labor Organizing Committee. They're commonly known as FLOC, and their goals are simple. They hope to support the rights of farm workers as American citizens. They hope to defend those rights through nonviolence and communication. And they want to make clear they do not want to own the farms. They want to work on the farms with just arrangements. After a handful of successful campaigns and boycotts, FLOC has reached the 21st century. And that's where we'll start this episode of The Rough Draft Diaries. What are the current issues FLOC is tackling in 2017?
The plight of the migrant worker remains the same. They're poor, desperate people. They're filling a void in the labor market that no one else wants to do. And not only because it's so difficult, it's so backbreaking, but the main thing that's not appealing is that it's short-term work. Even if you found workers in Ohio who wanted to do that work, you can't support a family if you live here 12 months out of the year on, you know, 5, 6, 7 weeks of harvest. So you bring in temporary workers, whether to undocumented migrants, immigrants, or visa guest workers from Mexico. And there are so many abuses in that visa program that begin in Mexico.
Some of those abuses include fees recruiters charge to potential farm laborers. These fees are illegal, but because the U.S. doesn't have any authority over Mexico's recruiting policies, the conditions stand. Baldemar is attempting to include those workers under FLOC's protection. But it's not easy, especially when our own leaders are divided on how to provide protection, if any, to migrant workers.
Even in Congress today, the big issue is not whether we need migrant workers in agriculture, it's how you're going to bring them. And that's why there's a big debate about the guest worker programs and a visa program. All of Trump's supporters are in favor of these visa programs because of the people he's appointing in his cabinet. Jim Sessions and these folks down there, in the past they've been champions of the guest worker program, but a gutted guest worker program. That continues to be one of the greatest inequities historically in the United States of how migrant workers are brought to an area to work. It doesn't matter whether they're guest workers or not, or undocumented. It's the treatment, the practice on the ground that matters. They have rights too as human beings. They can't be run roughshod over just because they're undocumented. And when they have no protections, no ability to organize themselves, this is what we have to do as organizers. We have to try to defend them in any way we can. So the history of abuse continues.
I think it's safe to say at this point that Baldemar and President Trump do not have much in common. A simple look into Trump's policies would solidify this statement. Just recently, President Trump signed multiple executive orders to begin construction on a wall along the U.S.-Mexico border, to boost Border Patrol forces, and to increase the number of immigration enforcement officers who carry out deportations. So when facing an administration that opposes almost everything your organization stands for, how do you move forward?
What are the silver linings in this? And one of them is that Donald Trump didn't pretend to be on our side. A lot of Democrats say they're on our side, but when they're in office, they don't do the things that they say they're supposed to do to really make the difference on the ground. I think Donald Trump gives us an opportunity to say, okay, we don't agree on this. So what is it that we need to do to make agriculture productive, to have the labor force that is needed? And I don't think that even Donald Trump would agree that it's okay to bring these workers in and cheat them of their wages. Or maybe he does. But the telling is on the ground and what you do on a day-to-day basis. It comes to us to approach this problem like, look, he's not the enemy. There are just problems. And we need to figure out a way to navigate how to overcome those problems by doing the creative organizing that we need to do and cut the best deal that we can get for the people to get to the next step. Because in the end, that's really what life is all about. It doesn't work to our benefit to demonize the opposition, to make them evil. You know, it all boils down to the practical things on the ground. And that's what we got to keep focused on and try to organize in a creative enough way to make something change.
So it looks like Flock is entering a new era, but fighting the same battle. It will be interesting in the years to come to see how the Trump administration responds to Baltimore's call to action and how we as a nation answer that call as well. For now, I'm Haley Taylor, and thanks for listening to this episode of the Rough Draft Diaries.